Numbers don't lie, but statisticians sometimes do. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principles and Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
And as always, Barry, I'm really glad to be back with you. Glad to be out there making radio for the folks.
Yes, absolutely. Well, you know, Chuck, I know we talked about this a lot last week, but I'm still seeing and hearing from a number of people the sound of sour grapes. The whole idea that coulda, shoulda, woulda, if all of these people who didn't vote for either Romney or Obama had voted, then Mitt Romney would be our president-elect today. You and I have been doing some looking over the weekend, and there is an article on Breitbart.com that was written by Michael Patrick Leahy over the weekend, and it seems, on the face of it, to support the contention that these people have that, oh, if we had just gotten these other votes, then Mitt Romney would be president. Because what this article's talking about, Chuck, is the fact that if about 333,000, actually 333,908 votes had changed positions in four of the swing states during the 2012 election, then Mitt Romney would have won the presidency. Now, that's not to say that that number of votes would have changed the margin of victory as far as the popular vote goes, because as people are probably aware of, President Obama won by about 3.2 million votes. So 333,908, even if you deducted that number from Obama's total and added it to Romney's total, would not constitute winning a popular vote. It also wouldn't constitute really changing the percentages to 50-50 in any way, shape, or form. You'd still have almost 51-48, which is what the percentage of the popular vote was in that election. But what they're saying is that in four states, and the four states are New Hampshire, Florida, Virginia, and, yes, ladies and gentlemen, Ohio, that because of the margin of difference between the two votes, that a change, if you would have just gotten that many more votes in for Mitt Romney in each of those states, then he would have won those four states, and with their electoral votes, it would have changed the map, actually giving Romney a thumbnail squeaker of a win of 270 to 268 electoral votes, rather than the actual electoral count, which was 332 to 206 for President Obama.
Well, first of all, let's tell the folks what I labeled in an email with this link on here. How did I label it? Because remember, the headline says, if 330,000 votes in four swing states would have changed, then Romney would have been given the presidency. Not definitely not the pregnancy.
Yes. I'm glad you didn't say that, because you titled your email, "And if my grandmother had wheels, she'd be a wagon."
That's right, because this is a ridiculous way of looking at this.
It is. Honestly, this is one of those, and I've seen people grab a hold of this already, especially on Facebook and other places where, you know, a lot of political chatter and conversation is still going on after this election, to basically take that and say, all you third-party voters, you're blankety-blank, you caused us to have Obama for four more years, because just look at this. You can't argue with this data. Well, that's exactly what I'm here to do, Chuck, is argue with this data, because let's just be quite frank about it. Let's say, and I think we've mentioned this last week, so just a reiteration in case you didn't hear us last week, if every vote that was cast for a non-major party candidate had not been cast for a non-major party candidate, Barack Obama would still be the president-elect going into 2013.
Well, not only that, he'd be president-elect by a wider margin.
By an actual wider margin, because, and we broke this down last week, that, you know, as far as libertarians goes, you can't assume that all libertarians would vote Republican if they had no libertarian choice. You could assume, probably safely, that Constitution Party voters might have voted Republican en masse, but then the Socialist Party and the Green Party would have voted Democrat en masse. And so by the time you get done breaking it out with some, well, what we consider to be conservative but realistic assessments of this, there was no way that Mitt Romney was going to pick up enough votes, not only to win the state, but to close the margin of difference between he and Barack Obama in each of those states.
Let's look at Ohio, just for instance.
Yes.
In Ohio, for instance, the Constitution Party, wherein most of Romney's votes that would consider, and we've talked about this before, belong really to Romney but went to a third party. The Constitution Party got 11,000 votes in Ohio.
Yeah, and the difference in Ohio between those two was a margin of 115,910 votes. Now, even, and honestly, you'd have to be very concerned about giving more than 40% of Gary Johnson's votes to the Republicans if you totally eliminated his votes as well, Chuck.
Yeah, I mean, you start doing the addition, and the numbers just don't make any sense, Barry. It becomes, that particular argument gets sillier and sillier and sillier, and more and more, and shows it basically more and more and more of a desperation on the part of some of the Republicans who basically can't do math in this area, who are desperate to say, it wasn't us, it was you who lost us this election. Well, I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, who lost the election was Mitt Romney. For the second cycle in a row, the Republicans caved to the idea of a bigger tent. And let's not kid ourselves. Mm-hmm. That is what has happened here. The Republican Party has two cycles in a row. And really, if you think about it, six cycles in a row, because let's face it, Bob Dole was a big tent Republican. George H.W. Bush was a big tent Republican. George W. was a big tent Republican. And Mitt Romney was a big tent Republican. And John McCain was a big tent Republican. So these guys are now not batting with a very high average. The fact is that I believe had a true conservative, or let's not say conservative, constitutionalist, had a true constitutionalist been the nominee. And there was one on the ballot. Now, like we said, some of us have had problems with certain parts of the agenda of Ron Paul. But the fact is, he was a true constitutionalist, and he was on the ballot. And we got fought tooth and toenail in some of our values voter get-togethers by people who said they would bolt the Republican Party if Ron Paul were the nominee. Barry, do you remember what the chief reason was? Really had nothing to do with didn't have anything to do with the Constitution. Do you remember what it was about? Why?
I think it was his foreign policy position, wasn't it?
Foreign policy. He wasn't willing to wage further war, and he wasn't willing to basically sell everything out to bring Israel into the picture, to keep Israel number one. I mean, I've actually had evangelicals tell me that Israel is the best friend we have in the world. And I always laugh at that. I go, really? Well, what about Britain and Canada? Because at least Britain and Canada don't send spies here to steal our military secret and then lobby us for billions of dollars in aid. So that being said, there's no one to blame for this debacle but evangelicals, really. Because they have been too willing to step in twice now in the last two cycles and support whatever the Republican Party shoves down their throat. And let's face it, this has been a wholly owned subsidiary and production of the neocon moderate wing of the Republican Party. They have control of the party apparatus. They have control of the convention apparatus. And the fact is, all you had to do was watch and see what they did to Ron Paul, who still had very large number of committed delegates, and they piecemeal, bit by bit by bit, disqualified all his slate and didn't even give him a speaking engagement. And then because he was retiring this year from Congress, while they didn't allow his delegates to attend the convention, they ran a video as a tribute to the retiring Ron Paul. Gee, thanks. And they wonder why a whole lot of Ron Paul guys sat this one out. Now, if you wanted to get that extra 100,000 votes in Ohio. You might have wanted to think about giving Ron Paul some talking time at the convention. But instead of doing that, they decided they wanted to completely not only blackball him from the convention, but they also wanted to make sure that a candidate like him couldn't possibly get the nomination in the future by changing the rules. And they blocked delegates out of the convention in order to get the votes they needed to change the rules. So the Republican Party gets everything it deserves. Don't feel a bit sorry for them.
Well, and that's the whole point. There's a lot of recrimination and blame casting. And honestly, in this article as well, Chuck, there was some blame casting that's being done here by Leahy, who wrote the article on Breitbart.com, and basically saying that there were some significant issues with Romney's campaign, that they failed in the basic nuts and bolts of campaigning, that they didn't pay attention to these four key states that he mentioned, the New Hampshire, Virginia, Florida, and Ohio. And that basically they didn't have any campaign stops in Virginia and Florida, you know, during the last day of the election. They moved resources away from those four states to quote unquote expand the map, and they bought time in Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, and Pennsylvania. And he said that the strategy developed by Karl Rove's Crossroads Group and influenced by senior campaign advisor Ed Gillespie was a fatal error in crucial last weeks of the campaign. So in other words, he's saying that these guys who had been basically the central piece of George Bush's election campaign blew it by the numbers. And that those numbers, though, Chuck, don't tell the real story. Those numbers really don't show that Mitt Romney could have been president, because even with that, Mitt Romney actually, especially in Ohio, pulled 81,000 fewer votes than John McCain did in 2008, which was a major Democratic election year. So you had a candidate who, even in the battleground state of Ohio, was less popular than John McCain was in 2008. And the only reason we know that John McCain pulled as many votes as he did was because of his running mate, Sarah Palin.
Oh, absolutely, Barry, and they didn't really have that this time. Let's face it, Paul Ryan did not generate the excitement that Sarah Palin did.
No, not at all.
So, and there's a good reason for that. The first thing Paul Ryan did was run away from his position on life. Don't kid yourself that people didn't notice that. You and I noticed it right off.
Oh, immediately.
And we said, okay, what other position is he going to run away from when Romney snaps his fingers? Sarah Palin didn't run away from any position. She just basically, when they asked her not to talk about it, she didn't talk about it. But she didn't withdraw from any of her positions. Now, it's very interesting to note that 81,000 fewer voted for Romney than voted for McCain. Overall, Barry, let's talk about this. 9 million fewer people voted. This was going to be the game changer election. This was the most important election of our lifetime. This was the election that no one was going to miss. Numbers were going to be, you know, through the roof on this. And the fact is that 9 million fewer people voted. Well, the fact is, out of that 9 million fewer votes, most of those fewer votes went to Obama, or didn't go to Obama, if you will. I think the nationwide number of fewer votes, only about something like 2 or 3 million of those fewer votes went. In other words, Romney did better against Obama than McCain had done. And I think, I'll be quite honest, he shouldn't have. But the reason that he did was everybody panicked, because a lot of people sat home in 2008 that decided, oh, that was the mistake I made in 2008. I'm not going to do it again in 2009. Well, the fact is that, let's face it, because of what the Republican Party is doing, the evangelicals need to sit out a cycle.
Yeah, you know, and on tomorrow's program, we're going to talk about something specifically that might add a little bit of rationale to that.
Yes, and you're right. We are out of time. please join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies, where we will continue this discussion.